This is a podcast from thebuglepodcast.com.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers. Welcome to Satirist for Hire Episode 2-ish, and or Bugle 293 sub-episode B for Balloon. I am Andy Zaltzman, and you are about to listen to highlights from my Satirist for Hire show at Soho Theatre on Monday the 8th of June. The show features romance, acrobats, classic musical theatre and dinosaurs. Everything you could want from The Perfect Night Out or The Royal Variety Show, all neatly packaged into one easily listenable podcast. Plus some bonus highlights from the world's radio output from this week. We should be back at the end of this week with Bugle 294, all things permitting, but first, we'll pick up the Satirist for Hire show just as I start responding to one of the demands submitted by the live Soho Theatre audience before the start of the show, before I then go on to the emails people had sent in advance. Do enjoy it.
Dungarees. Right, what's your... I mean,
they're just like, what, about 27 pairs? Just wanted to really know how you feel about them. They're easy access.
You've got 27 pairs of dungarees. It's just turning into more of a therapy session than a gig. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, they're easy to eat in. You can get another...
They're easy to eat in? What?
You can get in and out.
I mean, they're easier to eat in than a full suit of armour, yes. But it's not an either-or world, lady. There's other options out there.
Well, clothes can be quite restrictive nowadays, so...
What clothes can be restrictive?
Well, just there are lots of clothes.
Lots of clothes?
Yeah. Waistcoats,
right, well, those Victorian corsets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but dungarees...
Yeah, you can get in and out of them really easily. Other people can get into them and out.
What, simultaneously? Right, okay. Oh, I see. What, so for ease of carnal access... Right, so it's just kind of accelerating all the essential processes of life. They're the most efficient clothing known to humanity. Right, okay, so I've justified your bizarre wardrobe. Other than your 27 pairs of dungarees, do you have any other items of clothing or not?
Yeah, pants.
Pants, okay, right, yeah. It's good to have options. I think, no, in many ways you're right, because when you think of it, the world is a very angry place. But how many major riots and revolutions have been started by people in dungarees? I believe the dungaree is a mood lightening item of clothing. That's why builders wear them so much. if only everyone in the Middle East wore dungarees all the time, it would be absolutely fine. I think that needs to be tried out, by which I mean the dungarees and the material. So, Henry Burrell. Is Henry Burrell here?
Yep.
Shout out. Right, okay, this is quite a heart-rending one. Hi, Andy. Please could you satirise the fact that I've seen this show before at this same venue and you didn't pick my email to satirise? And about how now I'm torn as to whether you picking this one will make me feel any better about the whole situation. Yours, Henry Burrell. Well, so I feel awful, Henry. But when did you come to the show before?
2 years ago.
2 years ago? Yeah. Right. Because I looked back through the old email, I couldn't find it. What was it about?
Well,
right. And are you employed now?
Yes.
You are? George Osborne is right. Do you feel like you've justified Britain voting Tory? Do you not think that unemployed is it's a very negative term? Don't you think?
Perhaps.
I think they should just say people spending a bit of quality me time with themselves.
Not very exciting.
Has it made you feel better or worse? Well, no, just... just my entire career? Well, I don't know. So basically, you've come and it didn't work before, and yet you've come back You're basically a metaphor for all humanity. You've seen how something doesn't work, and yet you keep coming back, expecting it to be somehow different. You are an emblem, a symptom, and a cause of humanity's recurring problems. You're like a one-man satire on the global economy. Right, let's move on. Charlotte Knowles. Shout out if you're here. Andy, please satirise Harry Potter World in Watford. Right. I mean, the idea when I set this show up was so people could email him with, you know, the really big issues in their lives, the big issues affecting their planet, their future. Harry Potter World. I didn't even really want to go, right, Charlotte? And it was still a crushing disappointment. God, are you listening, Syria? No, yeah, what we are, people are suffering as well in this country. Thanks from Charlotte, aged 26 and three quarters. That's a very precise age. So you were born September 1988, roughly, is that right?
End of August.
So that means you were conceived around about December 1987. Around about the beginning of the First Intifada, the Palestinian uprising against Israel that went on for over 3 years and brought division, death and resentment that lingers on to this day. Conceived around about the time that Argentinian Nobel Prize winning scientist Luis Federico Leloir died at the age of 81. Almost possibly on the day that a South Korean airliner was blown up by the North Koreans. And here's the kicker, almost the exact time that Microsoft released Windows 2.0. Your parents were fucking perverts. Absolute fucking perverts. So, Harry Potter World. What is that? Is it a theme park or?
Well, supposedly, but it was more like a museum.
Oh, right. Well, I guess a theme park based on the life and works of the veteran Australian crime journalist Harry Potter was always bound to be a disappointment. I mean, how do you turn a 50-year journalism career investigating Australia's criminal underworld and a 10-year battle with cancer into an entertaining log flume? And also Watford, he just didn't have a profile there to sustain it. I didn't want to go and it was still a crushing disappointment. Ironically, the exact same words used in the very last entry in the space log of Laika, the Soviet cosmodog. How did you end up not wanting to go and it still... Why did you not want to go? You're not a Potter fan?
Yeah, they're okay. But my friend's girlfriend wanted to go.
Right.
It was really expensive. We didn't know when we committed to it.
Oh, I see. Right. So you feel you've been hoodwinked into something that you didn't know you were voting for. That's what happens in Britain. But, I mean, is it... I've not read the books. Who's a Harry Potter fan here?
Yay.
Yeah, quite a... My daughter started reading them, and she reads much faster than me now. She's only eight, which is quite depressing. I should never have taught her. I have two children. They're 42 and a half pence. Sorry, they're 8 and 6. And... I challenge anyone to find a better pre-decimalisation currency joke than that. Anywhere in Soho this evening. But how do you turn a series of books about a fictional wizard into a theme park? There can't be that many passages in which Harry and Hermione queued up for 45 minutes to go on a slightly disappointing ride whilst being slowly overcome by the nauseous aroma of cheap fried chicken. Whilst Ron burst into tears because his mum said he couldn't have an ice cream because he'd only vomited up on the swing boats like last time. I found Harry Potter really unrealistic, the bits that I did read. I mean, I've been to public school. I know that if Rowling ever produces another book, what it'll involve is Harry Potter having sold out and become a city accountant in Canary Wharf, trying to convince himself that his four-bed house in Hampstead and two skiing holidays a year justify the aching void in his soul when he sits on the Northern Line every morning, wondering what happened to the idealistic young wizard he used to be. It's just hard to convey that in the form of a roller coaster. So,
Space Agency has announced that its comet landing probe, Philae, has woken up
The ESA reported that Philae, brought back to life by some solar energy reaching its panels, contacted its mothership Rosetta with the words, where am I? I feel fucking awful. Oh, man, this place is a dump. Scientists are waiting for further communication from the distressed probe. Football Now and the former FIFA Vice President Jack Warner, a man described by many as John Oliver's funniest sidekick, has said in a television address that he will reveal all he knows about corruption at world football's governing body. Jack Warner's True FIFA will be broadcast in a series of 26 one-hour installments, with at least five more seasons already commissioned. Science News Now, and following the agreement by G7 leaders to completely fix the environment by ending the use of fossil fuels by the year 2100, anti-fossil rioters have gone on the rampage. Police have appealed for calm after a 200-million-year-old anemone was smashed to pieces by celebrating environment fans in the Netherlands.
Liam Jones.
Yeah.
What time did you send this in?
Yeah,
about 4:30 p.m. Yep. Please satirise for me the infuriating and Byzantine process of attempting to buy property in London, the Brexit prospect and what this will mean for the UK, and feminism in a gluten-free world. That was a Whitesnake album, wasn't it? I'm not sure. What's your angle on that? Do you think the two are mutually exclusive? And where they ban gluten, there they also ban women? Is that?
I'm still undecided.
You're still right. I mean, is it one or the other? Do you think, as a world, we have to make a choice between feminism and gluten? Right. I don't know. Is anyone here gluten-free? Yes? And has it made you more or less feminist?
Hard to tell. I'm celiac. I was diagnosed when I was 8.
Oh, right. Okay. So, I mean, that's... So, you're not...
Maybe I'm more feminist.
When you were, before you were 8, did you have dreams of like growing up to be a princess? Or...
Yes, then being gluten-free made me just want to...
Right, gluten advocates male supremacy. That's what you're essentially saying. Gluten is responsible for the patriarchal society that has held women back for the last
Absolutely.
8 billion years. Right. All right, sister.
Yeah,
testify, sister. Right, we're on the same page. Are you, who considers themselves a feminist? Who thinks women have had it too good for too long? Bossing us around for the last 13 billion years. Sorry, not women, physics, my mistake. Bang, boom, good luck explaining that. Now, right, I think we can all agree there, Liam, that had you sent that in with a bit more notice, you'd probably got some slightly better jokes on it. Now, But is Rennick Russell here?
Yeah.
Please satirise the idyllic tax-dodging island of Guernsey. I know in Guernsey it's been some terrible... I mean, there have been some heart-rending sights. Just businessmen so desperate to make it to the tax haven of Guernsey that boatloads of multi-millionaires have been washing up on the from the shores or even in the main harbour. Some of them so frantic to make it to Guernsey that they've travelled crammed in like sardines, two or three to a yacht. Some yachts only 120 feet long, and many of them have paid thousands of pounds for the privilege of a boat to Guernsey, or squeezed in like cattle onto private jets, free-range cattle, but cattle nonetheless. So, Guernsey, are you from Guernsey?
Yes.
And do you live here now? Which you prefer?
Guernsey.
You prefer Guernsey? What are you doing here? You just love paying tax. Guernsey was not providing you with the opportunity to redistribute your wealth as efficiently as you can do here. That sentence really went nowhere. Anyway, Charlotte Greenblatt. Hello, Charlotte. And are you Samson Finkelstein?
I am.
Strong names, I think we'll all agree. Strong names. Hi, Andy. I will be in London with my finance for just 2 days. Classic exploitative foreigners. Oh, sorry, fiance. My mistake. Right. I will be in London with my fiance for just. Oh, right. Right, little jet setting pair of Obamas, aren't you? Now, Being in London with my fiance for just 2 days. Listening to the end of the last Bugle, I was so excited to hear you announce that you were having a show whilst we were in town that I nearly fell out of my one-arm handstand. Here's the phrase that explains that. I am a professional circus acrobat and was listening to the Bugle whilst training before a show in Munich. Right, I mean, that's that phrase I take less offence to than I would have done 80-odd years ago. So, so is that your speciality, isn't that, the one-arm handstand?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I do for a living.
That's what you do for... you.
I stand on one hand, on the other hand.
You stand on... You can do that for a living?
It's a great gig.
I thought this was the stupidest job in the world. Congratulations. That's... Right, I did not actually fall over. I'm a professional, she says. But listen, does listening to the Bugle help? For those of you who don't know, I do a podcast called The Bugle, which I imagine most of you listen to, with a comedian called John Oliver, who's doing all right in the States, I understand. Have you all heard of John Oliver? Has anyone here not heard of John Oliver? Shout out if you haven't. You? Yes! Everyone in this room has heard of me! Fuck you, Percy Primetime! I'm the big dog here! One. Just one? I'll take one. I will take two. Yeah, get in there. Right. Three. Excellent. Keep it that way. Now, I realise I've slightly undercut that. Now, anyway, we're in the process of planning our wedding. Congratulations. Which will take place in a grove of giant redwoods in California next fall. Now, you're going to have to explain this as professional acrobat. You're a professional acrobat as well. So, by next fall, do you mean... I'm not sure I need to finish this joke. Anyway, instead of giving you a subject for satire, I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for our wedding ceremony. What kind of fucking gig do you think this is? So, suggestions for the wedding. So, a bit of background info that they've given me, other than the fact that they're professional acrobats. We are both atheists. Well, with respect, and as an atheist myself, I do not fear the Lord, and that feeling is... entirely mutual. But as professional acrobats, being an atheist is fucking stupid, isn't it? But surely you're going to make that cover, Ben, aren't you? That's a free insurance policy, surely. I'd just turn up at a church every now and again and sacrifice an ox, just to be on the safe side. So we are each from a half-Jewish family. Is there a great tradition of Jewish acrobats? Or apart from when Moses... backflipped across the Red Sea, and I don't know. Are there many Jews in the acrobacy world? Is that?
I don't know.
You don't know. Excellent. But anyway, so we would like to have some form of ceremony, but we have no idea what, other than the fact that it's in a fucking redwood forest. That narrows things down a bit, doesn't it? So basically, you're half Jews and acrobat. Now, I'm a bad Jew, and I'm an even worse acrobat, which is. So, something I would maybe just try and make your congregation be acrobatic in a Jewish kind of way. You could maybe get married whilst tiptoeing towards each other on a tightrope, whilst also covertly running all global media. I think that would be. P.S. Neither of us are planning to change our names upon marriage. You're undermining the foundations of society. Marriage is a sacred, God-given bond between a woman and a man's surname. This kind of shit is what we all feared when we legalised acrobat marriage. It's awful. Do you have any suggestions on what last name we should give our possible theoretical children? The hyphenated Greenblatt Finkelstein. Seems like it would be a bit much to foist upon a child. I think you might be right on that. Although, I mean, what are you intending to form like a family troupe? The incredible tumbling Greenback Finkelsteins has a definite ring to it.
I don't think we can.
No. Right.
Bat Fink.
There we go. Bat Fink. We have it. There you go. Problem solved. Thanks very much.
afraid, Grenville the Magic Penis is not the correct answer. In fact, the winner of the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 1911 was Swedish ophthalmologist Alvar Gullstrand. So another start of a 10, and this time, please, do try to listen to the whole question. Which... Oh, God.
I think I speak for the whole of Britain when I say, bring back something. I don't know what that something is, but it should definitely be brought back. Things are not what they used to be, so bringing something back has to be a good idea.
Any ideas what that might be?
Yes, flogging, typhoid, billiards, tripe, absentee fatherhood, Connie Francis, a healthy disrespect for workplace fatalities, and defecating out of a window, for a start.
Minister, thank you. And next week on Calling It Like It Is, we'll be talking to...
I'm going to have to crack through the last few. Stu McNeil. I'll be at the show thanks to my older brother Nick, who's generously taking me to celebrate my birthday. What a present. Nick's favourite TV show, possibly his favourite thing of all time, is Friends. He loves it more than anything and still quotes it daily. Is this true?
No.
No? Right. What, is this an absolute... Do you like Friends? You hate it? Oh, I see, right, okay.
He's doing a joke on me.
Oh, I see, right. So you're... well, that's a little... Good. Well, that's good to see that you didn't trust me to bring the fucking funny myself. Right. Right. Personally, I didn't know watch Friends on principle, because I believe it was very bad for the world. It started in September 1994, and it was a clear attempt by America to distract the world's attention from the Iraq disarmament crisis. When Iraq started building up troops near the Kuwaiti border, and America responded by deploying troops to Kuwait. And Friends ended in 2004, conveniently just after the arrest and imprisonment of Saddam Hussein. Read into that what you will. Also, 1 week before episode one of Friends, Britain lifted the broadcasting ban imposed on Sinn Féin. Can that possibly be coincidence? You play it backwards, David Schwimmer is basically Jerry Adams on speed. No. Right, Nick McNeil, that's you then, isn't it? Here's a last-minute request for tonight's show. Please satirise my pub, the Old Nun's Head in Nunhead, South London. It's fucking amazing. Most likely the best pub in the world, maybe too amazing. Both myself and my pub need to be taken down a peg or two. Then put it out as a podcast so thousands of people can hear it, saving me loads of money on advertising. Right. You, mate, you are a profiteering scumbag, mate. Thomas Ebbs. Please satirise. I've taken a bit of a gambit and decided to take someone I barely know to your show tomorrow. It will be our second date. How's it going? I am not a romantic comedian. In fact, taking someone... Who else is here on a date? Give us a cheer if you're here on a date. Right. I do believe that taking someone to see me on a date is tantamount to saying this relationship has gone as far as it can possibly go. My gigs are not dates. You might as well just buy your date a T-shirt saying, I quite like you, but... obviously, the whole experience wouldn't be awkward enough without being singled out in the audience. So please satirise either public displays of affection or the portrayal of velociraptors in film since the early 1990s. Jesus Christ. God, I'll go for B there. It's just propaganda, isn't it? Velociraptors, not nearly as frightening as they're made out to be in Jurassic Park. Actually only 5'6" tall. Carnivores covered in feathers. Very much the dinosaur Tom Cruise's. He keeps the feathers under his shirts, mostly. Actually, it's just a whole fucking lie, isn't it? Velociraptors. It was actually, I was reading a Deinonychus dinosaur. When will the lies end, Spielberg? There was a scene in Jurassic Park when a velociraptor opens a door. That's completely unrealistic. Scientists now believe that velociraptors would only been able to only been able to open doors that had a numeric keypad. I'm hoping my date has an interest in these issues. That's not enough to build a fucking relationship on. Velociraptors in film. Chris Day?
Yeah.
I'll be attending with my girlfriend. God, what has happened to my career? Who, despite being intelligent and wonderful in every other way... You crawling bastard. Right. Insists on watching god-awful television like Made in Chelsea and all those Real Housewives of programmes. Please satirise the shit out of this. Is that her one flaw? Right. How do you plead? Guilty?
Guilty.
Right. I've not watched those. Though I don't really understand reality television. The Great British Bake Off for me. Are you Bake Off fan? Do you like Bake Off as well?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. It's been one of the massive TV successes of recent decades. It's a programme about baking cakes that lacks the two main benefits of baking a cake. Namely, smelling a cake and eating a cake. And the success of the Bake Off, to me, is as surprising as would be the success of a hardcore pornographic radio station. It makes no sense. Dr. Brian J. Pickles. Strong name. We've got some, is Dr. Brian J. Pickles here?
I am.
I hope you don't mind me using your full name. I live in Vancouver, Canada. All right, Columbus, don't flash it about, mate. This will be the second of your live shows that I've attended in London in as many months. Please satirise my best mate, Roy, who's a huge fan of yours, but has now... basked in the glory of the Zaltzman live experience fewer times than me. So, well, how many times have you been, Roy? Is Roy here?
He's not here because he's playing polo.
He's playing polo? I don't understand what demographics I'm appealing to anymore. I just don't understand. How many times has he been?
Once.
He's a huge fan and he's been to my shows once.
Yep.
He might be a huge fan, but he's not a monetized fan. He means nothing to me. We want to finish with this one. James Mackenzie Thorpe.
Yep.
All hell, Zoltal the Merciless. That's the correct way to address me in a formal situation. I am of a theatrical bent, and like many resting actors, I'm temporarily, brackets for the last 8 years, found myself working front of house in a West End venue. I would love for you to satirise the jewel in London's glittering crown, the West End. However, if you feel this would be biting the hand that feeds you, perhaps a West End or theatrical pun run. Well, I'm not sure I should really do this at this stage of the gig. I'm not really into musicals. I had a friend, though, was a guy called Thomas. He liked musicals, but I prefer the kind of old-school ones with no talking in between. He was a fan, Tom, of the opera. He used to go to a lot of musicals, but he doesn't come to them anymore. Because he became a farmer, had to get up very early every morning. Tough gig for a guy who never used to rise till midday. We used to call him the Lion King. As a farmer, he had to look after a female sheep that had taken up residence on a boulder that sheltered loads of little beetles. It was known as the Weevil Rock You. Thanks very much. Don't worry, this show is nearly over. Don't worry. There were lots of shows he wanted to go to, but I ended up going on my own. It was a shame for him to miss. I gone five times, though. He had some good friends, though. His mate William had a banana-coloured luxury boat. We used to call him Billy Yellow Yacht. Billy Yellow Yacht. But it's tough work being a farmer. One of his lorries crashed taking baby chickens to the abattoir. His Chicago... Spilt all over the road. He had a lovely wife, though. He met her. She was a Burmese lass. Oh, you can't say that anymore, can you? She was me and my girl. I had to look these up on Wikipedia. Lovely woman, very pretty, but terrible bunions and warts. Very sexy, but Evita disgusting. Huge fan of Russian space stations, though. Old Mamma Mia, we used to call her. immaculately turned out all the time, although sometimes she had to help out in the abattoir. She had one set of clothes that were covered in blood, but her others were scrupulously clean. Massive fan of musicals too, she was, particularly historical ones. She took charge of breeding cattle on the farm, though. She split the males by quality into 18 groups, labelled by letter from A through to R. But only the top group were any good. The rest were as useless as each other, always injured. In fact, her B-bulls were as lame as her R-bulls. Thank you. I found it hard to concentrate for 20 minutes after writing that this afternoon. Anyway, that's all. Catch enough. Don't look at me like that. I'm in showbiz. I'm a star, like to express myself. There we go. I think that was 18 of the longest-running 20 musicals in West End history. Right. Sorry, there's a couple more. I'm sorry if I haven't got to yours, but I have to wrap up. Have we solved all the world's problems?
Yeah.
Good. Sorry, there's another show coming in. Thanks very much for coming in tonight. It's been a pleasure talking to you all. Thanks for all your contributions. I deeply apologise for the last 5 minutes. Until next time, thank you. Goodbye.
That's a lot for this week. The next Satirist for Hire show is on the 6th of July at Soho Theatre. Details on the Soho Theatre website. Do send in your emails for that show to satirisethis@satiristforhire.com and for The Bugle to info@thebuglepodcast.com. Don't forget to look at our SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/the-bugle. That's all. You can now go back to whatever you were doing before you started listening to this show. Whatever that was. Unless it was plotting the downfall of civilization, in which case, try to use this show as a convenient moment to wipe the slate clean and get things back on track. Until next time, bye!